All right. I would like to welcome everybody here in their living rooms or their basements or wherever they're watching this from. Thank you for joining us. It's going to be a fun day as we look at the resurrection today of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So before we get started, we are going to pray and we're going to have some music today as well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we are just so grateful that we can worship you no matter where we're at. You are with us. And Lord, I thank you so much that you took the cross, that you paid for our sins, and that you were buried, and the grave could not hold you, and we are here celebrating that today, that you are alive and well, and salvation is offered to mankind through your works. You defeated sin and death, and Lord, we come before you with a humble and thankful heart, and we say thank you for your work. And Lord, I ask that what we do today be a blessing in your sight through the messages, through songs, and Lord, again, we're just so thankful we have the technology that we can still reach out to one another, that we can still interact through whatever messenger we have, phone calls. We thank you, and we give you the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you want to go ahead and, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is today's psalm reading. So I'm going to go ahead and just read through that and then just have a few things to say about it. To the choir master, according to the Doe of the Dawn, a psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. But I am a worm of a man, and not a man, scorned by mankind, despised by the people. All who seek me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads at me. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like ravening and roaring lions. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death, for dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. That may have sounded pretty sad and pretty hopeless, and that's because it was. And that's the point. There was no hope. And the reason this psalm sounded so hopeless is because I left out the hope. I left out God. See, I only read part of this psalm. I only mentioned God when I was going to complain about him or when I was going to blame him. My God, why have you forsaken me? Just all these complaints and all this pouring out of David's heart. And you see, I did that on purpose because I want to make a point. The reason this was hopeless is because I left out God. And I feel that a lot of times this psalm, the way I read it, is the psalm of our hearts, the psalm of our culture, even the psalm of the media. They focus on fear, and we focus on our problems. We focus on the pain, we focus on our struggles, and the only time they or even we bring God into the picture is when we question why things are happening the way they are and complain to him, or even have the nerve to blame him for what's going on. But that's not what David wrote here, and I want to read it again for you, and I want you to look for the hope here. So now if you have your Bibles out, go ahead and make sure, just turn to Psalm 22. And let's go ahead and read this entire psalm together. To the choir master, according to the Doe of the Dawn, a psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. And David is saying here, I feel forsaken, but he answers himself. Yet you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted, they trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and they were rescued. In you they trusted and they were not put to shame. You see, he felt forsaken, but God always delivers. He never abandons us. And David goes on, "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him." And David is saying here, "I feel worthless. I feel like you've left me, Lord." But David answers this, and he says, "Yet you are the one who took me from the womb. You made me to trust in you at my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help." And you see, David is saying here, "But you valued me. Even though I feel worthless, you valued me even before I was born. And I'm trusting in you, because I can't trust in anyone else. No one else can deliver me right now. I'm trusting only in you." And David goes on, "Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like ravening and roaring lions. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death, for dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." And David's saying here, "I feel hopeless. I feel worn out." But he doesn't just leave it there. "But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him, and stand in awe of him, all of you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but he has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of all the nations shall worship before you. Your kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Prosperity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it." There's a big difference. You see, David, he wasn't afraid when he wrote Psalms to pour out his honest feelings to God, to talk about his broken feelings, the hurt, the heartache. David did that. We see that all the way through the Psalms. However, he always resolved these with a verse about his hope in God. He never just left it there. He never just poured out his heart and struggles to God and then just left it there and didn't resolve it. He always resolved it and went back to his hope that he has in God. And my question is to you, you have problems, you have struggles, you have pain, and you have fear. But do you have God? Because when you have God, you have hope. And you see, this week's psalm just happened to be the next psalm in the order. It wasn't picked specifically for this week or anything like that. It's just what God wanted us to hear this week. But this is also the psalm that Christ quoted while he was on the cross. And we also see a bunch of other correlations between this psalm, prophecies that were fulfilled in his death. We see in verse 8, he says, he trusts in the Lord, let him deliver, and starting in verse 7, all who see me mock me, they make mouths at me and they wag their heads at me. He trusts in the Lord, let him deliver him, let him rescue him, for he delights in him. And we see in Mark's gospel, the people there wagging their heads at Jesus and mocking him and saying, take yourself down from the cross, deliver yourself. They're mocking him. And then in verse 18, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. And we see this, where the soldiers were casting lots for Jesus' clothing. And then also in verse 16, for dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. And Jesus, his hands were pierced, and his feet were pierced for us. There's a lot of correlations here, but then at the very beginning, we see Jesus quoting the beginning of this psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we cannot deny that as Jesus hung dying on the cross, bearing the weight of the sin of the world, that he felt forsaken just as David did in this psalm. But Jesus knew, and I know, and you know, that it didn't just end there. Because if it would have ended there, if Christ would have not risen from the dead, if he had not died and rose again on the third day, where would we place our hope? We would not have a God to place our hope in. But praise God that he did raise from the dead, that he did rise on the third day, and we do have somebody to place our hope in. You see, without the resurrection, if Christ just died, we have no hope. It's foolish to believe in what we believe. It's foolish to live the way we do. It's foolish to be a Christian. If Jesus died and he did not raise from the dead, we believe a lie, and what we're living is pointless. But the point is, he did raise. He did rise from the dead. And because of that, we have a God that we can put hope in. And so I just encourage you that as you're celebrating this Resurrection Sunday, as you're thinking about not only the death of Christ and the sacrifice that he made, that you also think about the resurrection and the fact that he did rise again and the fact that he is here now with us. He was there then, he's here now, and he will be here in the future, and it's a sure deal that we can put our hope in him and trust in him, whatever the situation may be. The resurrection is important. Without the resurrection, we have no hope. And so just really focusing on that today as we worship, as we listen to what Justin has to say, just focusing on where we place our hope. Is your hope placed in God?
What a great day it is to look at the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Over 2,000 years ago, God's plan for salvation was complete, and we can rejoice over that. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to this world to save mankind from eternal separation from God. See, he came and he paid a price for our salvation. Although we are not physically here today sharing this moment as most people want to be together, most people make it a priority to go to church on Resurrection Sunday. I don't remember a Resurrection Sunday to where I didn't go to church, but we always need to remember the resurrection, not just today, not just on Easter, but every day, every moment. That's just a pivotal point of the Christian faith. We look back and we see the empty tomb. And unfortunately today, we also have an empty church. But we can still be together through technology that we're allowed to have, that God made it possible so we can chat together. Even right now, those of you watching on Facebook, you can see who's watching, who isn't watching, I think, and comments, and we can connect that way as well. However, I'm still longing for the day that we can be together again. That will come. So we must not lose hope. Must not lose hope. Our for sure hope, because God is still in control. No matter what's going on, God is still in control. And we can turn to him in our time of need. We can always turn to him. We have God and we have each other. And we've got some pretty cool technology to send messages reminding people that he is risen. It's a great way to do that. Now, we as believers look forward to 2 days, don't we? There's two big days that we have, and the first one we look forward to is the birth of our Savior. The birth of God sending the free gift of salvation to his creation, whom he loves. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, in a miraculous way so we could be saved. And now today we celebrate the resurrection. I was thinking about that this morning. Just thinking about, there's not a whole lot in Scripture to talk about the birth. It is talked about, But the resurrection is talked about a lot more. Jesus being resurrected from the dead. And yet we only put maybe a week of thought into it, some of us. One of the biggest events that happened in history was the resurrection. Don't get me wrong, the virgin birth was awesome. It was great. He had to come that way so he could be born without sin. And when we look at the birth, we take 2 months sometimes and reflect on it, and we take a week for the resurrection. I think they should get the same amount of time. So today we're going to celebrate the resurrection. It is a big deal. It's a huge deal. And we're going to look at why it's such a big topic. And my passage I chose today was 1 Corinthians 15, one of my favorite passages. 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to look at verses 12 through 19 really quick. It says, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testify about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. And those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we of all people most to be pitied." I love the way Paul just lays this argument out for those that deny the resurrection of the dead. You see, we celebrate Easter because of the resurrection. It's needed. And Paul explains this out. And just prior to this, in 1 Corinthians 15, 3, he goes back and just nails the gospel message. "For I delivered to you the first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to Scripture. And He appeared to Cephas," or Peter, "and then to the 12. And He appeared to a whole bunch of people to prove that He was resurrected from the dead." And that's how Paul starts this off. Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead. And there were some interesting things going on at this time. Some were saying a man cannot be resurrected. It's kind of a big deal, right? Well, it is a big deal. The resurrection was a huge deal. And not very many people were brought back from the dead, especially on their own accord. Only one person did that. Some claim that there was no resurrection. Not even the resurrection of Christ. And if there was no resurrection, what are we doing here? What are we celebrating? See, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. We would be coming to church wearing our Resurrection Sunday best for nothing, just for the moment. We'd be gathering with family just for the moment. It would be useless. We'd be elevating ourselves. And I like this in verse 15. "We even are found to be misrepresenting God, because we testify that He raised Christ." He's saying if Christ did not raise, the apostles would have been liars. Jesus Christ would have been a liar. God Himself would have lied. The Holy Spirit, whom authored Scripture, would have been a liar. If, of course, Christ has not been raised from the dead. If He has not been raised from the dead, your faith is useless. Your faith is useless. You have no grounds. You have no grounds. And you are still, as Scripture says, in your sins. You are a dead man walking. There is no life. Then it goes on, then those also whom have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Sobering thought, there's no hope. Those who have passed on have nothing. And if he was not risen from the dead, we have hope only in this life and nothing else. Nothing to look forward to. And the Christian, those who follow this teaching of the resurrection, are to be pitied. Are to be pitied. He laid out a good argument. Then he goes on into verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Has been raised. There's no arguing about that. There are so many people who can't get that through to them. Yes, they believe that Jesus, there's so much evidence for Jesus, and there's so much evidence for the resurrection that they want to turn a blind eye to it. It has been trying to be proved wrong so many times, and yet you cannot prove it wrong. You can only prove it correct. If the resurrection of the Messiah did not happen, our faith would be in vain. However, the dead has risen from the grave. The Savior of the world has come, and His work saved us. There's so much evidence for this. There's proof of the death and resurrection. Jesus made Himself known, proving He was alive. See, that's the really cool thing about those who follow Jesus, is our God is alive. We serve a God who's living. There's other gods that people serve who have died. And guess what? They're dead. They can't even defeat death. You can dig up their bones and see them. This is where this person lay. This is where this person lay. They claim to be a god. I guess the grave got them. Our God is alive. Our God is alive. And that's what we serve. That is who we serve. One who has power to defeat sin and death. We serve a God who loves us and knows the things that we need. And the most important thing that we need is a Savior. In order for us to spend eternity with God, on our own, we need to be perfect. But guess what? Nobody's perfect. Nobody has a perfect record. There is none righteous, not one. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have missed the mark that God has set before us. It's an archery term. They're supposed to be aiming at one target, and they hit a completely different target. They missed the mark that God has set. Do you know what? God knew what we were going to be like. He knew we were sinners. He knew we were going to rebel against Him. And yet, even while we were against Him, He still provided salvation to mankind. And that is why we celebrate the resurrection. The plan of redemption was complete. John 3:16 through 19 tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but the world might be saved through Him." Excuse me, I jumped a line. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son to the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. No amount of works you can do. It's only what Jesus had done. See, God had that plan from the very beginning, and that was to bring mankind back to him. And take a moment today. Think on the work that Christ has done and how that has affected your life. Do you have that relationship with Christ or not? Now, Jesus came to save the world. This includes you. If you don't have Christ, if you're thinking, do I need Christ? Do I not need Christ? That's not going to get you anywhere. If you don't have him, you don't have him. There is no gray area. If you don't have him, I invite you to talk to God. Let him know that you need a Savior. And that without him, you are still dead in your sins. But with him, you are alive and will spend eternity with him. See, the resurrection allows us, the death and resurrection allows us to come to him. It covers us for those who believe. And that is what we are celebrating today, the resurrection. The grave could not hold him. Death could not keep him. We serve a God who is alive. Keep that in your mind as we go through our day to day. Not just Sunday to Sunday, but day to day. We serve a God who is alive, a God who wants that relationship with us. But today we get to take a moment and just really think about what he has done and the work that he completed. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just thank you so much that there was a resurrection, that you did raise from the dead, that you came and you took the cross and you saved us. Through your bloodshed, we could be covered. We could be made clean. You can wash us. Through your work, nothing that I can do, but only of you. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity to gather together in this way, to sing praises to you, to reconnect with you, to spend time with family today if we have family, to reflect on your word and the importance of the resurrection. Because without it, we're useless. We're empty. But all praise goes to you because you were resurrected. And we thank you so much for what you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Acts 2, verses 22 to 24. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst. Just as you yourselves know, this man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in his power. Amen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Have a glorious and wonderful Resurrection Sunday.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth living just because he lives.